Yeah, very well. Thanks yourselves.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it. A huge weekend of international football coming up with two very, very big games for England as they prepare for Euro 2016. Starting off with, well, we could say the old enemy, I guess, really, can't we? With Germany. This is going to be a huge game in Berlin. And now we've had a couple of withdrawals from the England squad. Obviously, Joe Hart's a key injury as well. We're looking at Raheem Sterling, could be out for the rest of the season now by the looks of it. How are you seeing the current England squad as it is at the moment, and how do you think we'll get on in this game?
Well, I think you have to look at the squad as a whole and assume, hope, cross fingers, that everybody is going to be fit come obviously when the actual Euro squad is announced. You know, that's always been the biggest problem. We always go on about, oh, if LA hadn't got injured, or if only that player hadn't got injured. It happens to every team, it happens to every country in Europe and across the world. You know, look what happened to Neymar in Brazil, their talisman, you know, tournament with a back injury. You have to learn to deal with that. You know, it's part and parcel of, you know, what football is, unfortunately. But no, obviously Raheem Sterling is a little bit of a blow. Joe Hart, I don't think he's going to be out for too long, but there are some ample deputies in goal, you know, to step into to Joe Hart's shoes. So that doesn't worry me particularly at all. I think the game is a tricky one. England at the moment have some very exciting attacking players. Depending on what team Roy Hodgson picks, who he thinks is most suitable. But you know, there is a lot of talent in this England squad going forwards. I think the issues that we have at the moment are probably defensively. You know, and that's a sort of maybe a strange thing to say, but I think when we look at it, maybe 6-8 years ago, we were very, very strong defensively. Maybe lacked a little bit of creativity and struggled to score goals. This time it's come full circle, or half circle, if you like, and now it's the other way around.
I was going to say, when you look at the squad, and in terms especially the strikers, I mean, there really is just a depth of talent there, isn't there, for Roy Hodgson to pick?
The problem is it's young, unproven talent. And that's always a bit of an issue. You know, before we've seen Michael Owen be outstanding in tournament, in his first tournament, other players. You know, when you look at the players that are in there at the moment, Vardy, Sturridge, Welbeck, Rooney himself, Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Theo Walcott, if he's playing well. You know, there are lots, and that's just to name a few, there are lots of good attacking players in that England side. You know, Adam Lallana can play in an advanced midfield position as well. Dele Alli can get forward. There is a lot of attacking talent. Roy Hodgson has to pick the right players to fit in the right system that can play with each other. Then they have to play without fear and play well, and obviously give themselves a really good chance of making it to the squad for Euros for starters. But, you know, this is Germany that you're going to play against. It's never easy. I was in the stadium when England beat Germany 5-1 back in 2001. I think that was. Obviously, I was commentating, I think, the last time they got smacked in the World Cup in South Africa, 4-1 as well. So, you know, it's very, very up and down against the Germans. They are undoubtedly a very, very good side. Fantastic players who have injury problems themselves. But you can never underestimate the Germans at all.
Yeah, they've got some quality players there, no doubt. And even though they've got a bit of disruption in their squad with what's been going on with Max Kruse, as was discussed on this show earlier on this week, with the various disciplinary issues that he's going through at the moment. If we look through the squad again, as you said, it does look like the defence is where the problems are going to be. And it's picking the right back four, I guess, at the moment. Obviously, you've got a man who's heavily courted by a number of clubs, especially Chelsea. It was earlier on this year with John Stones, who seems to have gone off the boil a little bit. Everton, Nathaniel Klein's been seemingly quite solid for Liverpool. Ryan Bertrand's been playing very well. Gary Cahill's always dependable. Jagielka and Smalling as well, who I think's had a very good season for Manchester United. But as you mentioned before, it is up front, isn't it? And in the midfield, where we seem to be blessed. And now that there are players who are there who are on form, the likes of Dyer, Ali, Drinkwater, even, you know, the likes of Ross Barkley, Lallana. Roy's got a big set of choices to make here. Do you think he's going to experiment a little bit in this? And then when we get to France, is he going to go with those players who are still in form, or is he going to just pick the ones who he knows and trusts?
I think there's always a little bit of both. Yes, you want to pick players in form, but if you talk about the players that are in form at the moment, you know, you look at Drinkwater, no international experience whatsoever. You know, he might have a fantastic game against Germany or Holland, whichever one he plays in. Does that mean he's ready to step into the Euros with all that pressure? You know, playing with those players, you know, in a tournament situation. I'm not necessarily sure it does. You know, it's very, very difficult to step up from league football, club football, where your surroundings are familiar. You feel very, very secure. You have your friends around you. You have the same things day in, day out. To suddenly step into the international scene on a national, on a world stage, sometimes can be a completely different game. You know, that the game is played in a slightly different way. You're playing against better players. You've got to play with better players as well. You know, and that's, it should be a little bit easier, but it's not always the case. You know, you have to, Drinkwater, for instance, has been used to playing a certain way all season. Suddenly, he might have to change. You know, he's going to have to get to know what other players do before they sort of know themselves, like he does at Leicester. And that's never easy. We have a lot of potential, very, very good attacking potential up front. There is a lack of international experience, I would say, a lack of international quality. Harry Kane undoubtedly is on fire, and I think has to start up front. Very, very intelligent, very technically good and gifted player. But then around him, who do you play? You know, you assume that Wayne Rooney, if he's fit, has to start, but he's had injury problems. Sterling has now got injury problems. Walcott has been in and out of the Arsenal team. Danny Welbeck has had a long layoff, you know, from coming into the tournament. Sturridge, you know, is he fit? Is he not fit? So there is a lot of attacking potential. Ross Barkley, again, just seems to have gone off the boil and maybe hasn't scored enough as many goals as we would have liked at Everton. This season. So yes, there is Vardy as well has also, you know, gone through a little bit of a drought himself. So there is an awful lot of potential going forward. But I still think defensively there are one or two issues. Nathaniel Clyne at right back is a certainty to start as long as he is fit. But beyond that, you know, John Stones can't get in the Everton side at the moment. Phil Jagielka has done a very, very solid job. Is that going to be good enough to get us to win the Euros? Chris Smalling, do you play him alongside Cahill? Do you play him alongside Stones? You know, two young players in the central defence. Is that acceptable? Is that enough? Do you need experienced players in that area? And then at left back, I really don't know who you play at left back at the moment. There's probably a choice of four players. And right across the back four, there is no outstanding candidate in each of those positions. You know, and when I go back to the teams that I was involved in, not when I played, even the squads, but was clearly the outstanding right back. You know, Sol Campbell, Rio Ferdinand, two outstanding centre backs. And to back them up, Gareth Southgate and Martin Keown, Jonathan Woodgate coming through the system. You have phenomenal talented players right across the back four. You know, you had Wayne Bridge, that obviously was behind Ashley Cole. So you had a first team, an international back four. I don't think we have that at the moment.
And I mean, you've talked about the squad there. Just looking at Euro 2016 right now, what do you think England's aim should be in terms of progression?
Well, clearly got to get out of the group. Not trying to be disrespectful, but it's a weakish group. England should probably win the group, but second, I think it's pretty much mandatory. Bearing in mind, you can finish third. It's one of the best place, third places and still qualify. So England have to get out of the group, first and foremost. England should get to the quarterfinals minimum. That is what I would expect, you know, with this slightly bigger tournament. The talent pool is lessened slightly. If they don't make it to the quarterfinals, I think it will be seen as pretty much a failure. And disastrous. Once you get to the quarterfinals, you need your good players to play well. You need a little bit of luck. You need the right bounce of the ball. You need goal line technology. You know, you need something, but you've got to play well first and foremost. Ultimately, the teams that go on to win the tournament, yes, they get a bit of luck, that they deserve to be there. They've played the best throughout the tournament. So England somehow, and I think it just comes down to mentality. The Italians have it. The Germans have it. The Spanish have it. The Dutch haven't always had it. The French haven't always had it. You know, they can be very, very up and down. They're a very, very talented side. It has to be this mentality. If England have to go out, play to their best of their abilities, not be overly concerned, and try and play a different style or two different styles to what they play week in, week out. I think that's where England have suffered in the past.
And you mentioned the Dutch there. Obviously, we've got those guys in the next of these friendlies. And it's going to be a bit of an emotionally charged one anyway with the sad passing of Johan Cruyff today. And I'm sure there's going to be a beautiful tribute to that game. And just, you know, the amount of people I've seen on social media today sharing pictures. I'm just looking at Steven Gerrard right now on his Instagram account. He's posted a picture of Johan there. I mean, the Cruyff turn is quite a legendary thing, really, isn't it? I've seen that all over social media today as well. Really sad to hear that news today, wasn't it?
It's very, very sad. What a great player. What an icon. You know, what an absolute legend. How many players, like you just mentioned, get to have a move or a turn named after them? And that's just transcended generation after generation. It's phenomenal. You know, his style of total football, you know, we don't have a position. Let everybody go and play in different positions. Everybody has to be a great footballer. Of course, there was the penalty incident as well, where obviously he rolled it to the side. It's just a phenomenal footballer. You know, absolutely exceptional. You know, innovative beyond his years. Very, very talented in taking the game forward and forward thinking. And of course, will be a huge loss, not just to Dutch football, but I think to world football as well.
Absolutely, a real icon in the game, and like you said, for someone to have a move on the pitch named after them, it's a real testament to how influential he was in the game. It really was sad to hear that news earlier on today. Just moving on as well, just very quickly before we let you go, to Leeds United, as we look at the rest of their season. Not many games left coming up. We've got QPR, of course, soon, and Rotherham as well before that one on Tuesday night. It's been a bit of an up and down few weeks, really, and lots of protests and rumours and three victories and then a horrible defeat at home to Huddersfield. How have you viewed Leeds United's season so far, and what do you think they need to go forward really now?
It's been topsy-turvy, hasn't it, as always, at Leeds. It's never dull. I think, you know, they are clearly safe from relegation. Well, you know, promotion is, or a playoff place is just as likely as relegation at the moment. You know, sat in 13th, bang in the middle of the table. I think ideally at the start of the season you'd have liked to them been challenging closer to the playoffs. But again, it's been a season of turmoil, a season of controversy and ups and downs at Leeds United. They just need a little bit of stability. They just need the owner, which I think he has done. It just seems to have calmed down a little bit. Just backed off, I think, the manager and everything around it at the moment. Just needs to let the manager, whoever that is going to be, you know, and it's going to be Steve Evans long term, then let it be. You know, he has to back him. You know, give him a little bit of cash or whatever cash is there available to bring in the right players. Because if you're not careful, before long, what is one of the biggest clubs in England, in the UK, in Europe, you know, in terms of fans and fan base, if not careful, we'll start to dwindle. It's been a long, long time since Leeds had success. And all those fathers and grandfathers at the moment that take sons and grandkids, those sons and grandkids assume they're not going to want to support Leeds unless they start seeing a little bit of enjoyment, a little bit of great football and something to cheer about. You know, and sadly, you know, that the modern world, those kids are going to support other clubs.
And I was going to say, you talk about stability, you look at the likes of Lewis Cook and Charlie Taylor, Alex Mowat, they're three players, obviously, from the academy, a lot of hopes for them. How important is it that they try and build the team around them players?
I think you have to be very, very careful when you say you're going to build a team around any particular player or players, because players move on. You know, that is the modern era. You know, a good player will get snapped up by somebody better. There's always somebody better than you, looking to take your players. You have to build your team around, I think, a philosophy and a way of playing, and then get the players in to suit that style of play. And I would go back to probably Swansea's model when they were coming through the divisions, or even Bournemouth as they are now. Bournemouth don't base their game around any individuals or any particular players. They have a certain way of playing, and they buy players in that can play in that way. Swansea do something very, very similar. And even those top clubs, they have to sell their best players. You know, that's just a fact of life. You know, that's, you have to accept that in modern day football. So I think that the club need to decide what sort of style of football they are going to play, where they are going to go over the next two or three seasons. Make a plan and stick with it. You know, there will be ups, there will be downs. It's not going to go perfectly well. You look at Middlesbrough, who were flying this season, suddenly now out of the top three. Sorry, out of the top two and into third. Suddenly it's gone a little bit wrong for them, you know, having lost three of their last five games. So it's tricky wherever you are. You need a philosophy and you need to stick to it and you need to give it time. You know, two, three wins doesn't mean you're world beaters. Two or three losses doesn't mean disaster and you should sack the manager. You know, as long as you've got a plan and are heading in the right direction and you can see progress, that's the way to go.
Danny, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been brilliant getting your thoughts on England, Leeds and of course Johan Cruyff as well. Really appreciate it. Enjoy these games coming up and have yourself a great Easter, my friend.
Pleasure.